Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical worldwide network called Blog Talk Radio as we enjoy spring-like weather in the west central part of Indiana. We're quite enjoying it. In fact, as I look out the studio window at this very moment, I'm looking at a full moon, absolutely gorgeous night, and 60 and 70 degree temperatures. And I think winter just kind of bypassed us, so we're quite thrilled about that. We've got a fantastic show planned tonight. Joining us in a little bit will be cinematographer Jet Kaiser, and we're going to talk about the work that he's doing and some of the fantastic films he's made. Should be a great hour, so I hope everybody has a comfortable seat. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, Melissa Hovey is our studio producer, and our technical engineer, Jim Johnson, and from the massive Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and always humble, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. Now, we were talking right before we went on the air about your alligator pond is full of frogs.
Well, to be more specific, that it is wood frogs. In fact, I have to say, years ago, when they're in the breeding season and they're making a lot of noise, it sounds like battling raccoons. And I never could figure out where this weird noise. And then during the daytime, of course, they're out sunning. You can see them. But, yeah, there's beautiful wood frogs, and there'll be little black tadpoles here soon. And we're excited because that means spring's on the way.
Can you estimate how many are out there?
How many wood frogs?
Yeah.
Oh, there's probably 20, at least.
And how big are they for our listeners who don't know what a wood frog is?
Well, they're probably, probably 3 inches from the tip of their nose to the their end of the frog. And then, of course, they've got these massive legs, and they're pretty frogs, rarely seen in the wild. Of course, they'll migrate back to the woods because, guess what, in about 3 weeks, we'll be releasing the gators to their outside ponds, so the frogs will have a rude awakening like every spring, and they'll be on the go. So,
and as you mentioned before, when you let the alligators out, they come out largest to smallest. Is that right?
That's right. They come out single file. The biggest one is about 8 feet, and the smallest in that group is about 4 feet. And the big one lets off the very familiar alligator call we all know. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And they follow him out, and it's by order of size, single file. So it's pretty impressive. I'll tell you what, I'm going to try and film that this spring, and maybe we'll put it on YouTube, and our listeners can go to that and see that quite impressive display of live alligators that we have here at the Batson Wildlife Compound. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the brand-new children's book by Cheryl and yours truly, Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy to Sharpen Those Pencils, WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. And that's right, shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for March 8th. Now, if you don't like spiders, you're not going to like our first story tonight. Now, we happen to like spiders, don't we?
Yes.
Now, have you heard about this? Thousands of spiders blanket Australian farm after escaping floodwaters.
I saw that just moments before we went on the air.
Now, it's pretty impressive. Thousands of normally solitary wolf spiders have blanketed an Australian farm after the rising waters forced more than 8,000 Australian human residents from their homes in the city of Wagga Wagga in New South Wales.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the people moved out and the spiders moved in.
What was that city again, Dr. Day?
That was Wagga Wagga.
Okay. I'm taking notes tonight.
Now, you know, it's just a type of a wolf spider that they have there, and they were just trying to get away from the waters. Well, the Australian Museum's entomology collections manager said that there's even a term for this phenomenon. It's called ballooning. And it's typical when spiders are forced from their lairs due to the waters, you know.
I thought the phenomenon was called bunch of spiders.
And if you haven't seen the pictures, it's like snow. There
really?
Are so many spider webs, like an acre of just spider webs. Just beautiful, actually. Now, thankfully for the local residents there, the occupying arachnids are not likely to set up permanent residence. And weather reports say that the floodwaters there in Wagga Wagga have been receding, and meaning that the locals will soon be returning to their homes.
Well, God love
you. A little bit of good information is that while the spiders are setting up shop above the ground, they're feasting on mosquitoes and other insects that have boomed because of the increase in moisture brought by the water, you know, the rising waters.
Well, you see, Mother Nature always has a plan.
That's right, and and it's, you have to see it. If you haven't seen it, you must go and see the spider snow. Now, you and a lot of our listeners, we have a lot of listeners in New York, are going to be sad to hear this.
Oh.
New York, New York, the Bronx Zoo has closed its monkey house indefinitely.
Really?
The Wildlife Conservation Society will plan for a new exhibit in the future. Now, a sign on the doors of the historic building said that the monkeys can be seen at the zoo's World of Birds, Congo Gorilla Forest, and the Jungle World.
Oh. They have the monkeys within the World of Birds?
Yes.
Hmm. You know, there's some monkeys that eat birds.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of the monkeys do. But, yeah, we'll have to think about this one.
That might heighten the entertainment value on your visit to the zoo.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, now we're counting cats tonight. How many cats do you have at the Wildlife Preserve?
Oh, six. Six tigers.
Six tigers, that's enough.
Yeah.
Well, we're heading off to Vermont. Wildlife officials on snowmobiles have been conducting the state's survey of the Canada Lynx this past week, and I hope the new snowfall will help them gauge the endangered animals' activity in the northeastern part of the state there. And the lynx, as we know, is a beautiful cat.
You know, I've always wondered how they did those sort of things, especially something as elusive as a lynx.
Exactly.
That would be interesting. We need to have the person on that's responsible for that project.
Somebody who's getting paid to ride around on a snowmobile.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the cats that you've used over the years in your wildlife educational services, I know there's been a lot. Do you have a favorite cat? Is there one that was a favorite, you know, a species?
That's a difficult question. You know, we worked with the Canadian Lynx for several years, and it was quite the phenomenal animal.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, it was very mild-mannered. And there's a couple, three tigers that I can say that have been very special, like a lion here or there.
I love the caracals.
Yes, the caracals, and right now we have, I take that back, I have seven cats because we have an African serval cat, too.
The servals are very beautiful animals.
Yes, they are, so... But they're not pets, just
close right.
friends.
That's right. All right, well, what's the buzz in Somerton, Arizona? Bees attacked 13 farm workers who were working in a cauliflower field near Somerton, near Yuma. Now, one farmer had to be taken to the Yuma hospital because of an allergic reaction.
That's too bad.
And a beekeeper was called in to try to collect the bees, and everything turned out fine there.
They weren't the African bees, were they?
No.
Oh, okay.
Thankfully not. Well, Have you noticed that your local Bald Eagles, have they set up residence yet? Are they working on it?
I haven't been down to check on them.
Well, the reason why I ask is because we're heading off to my state of birth, Kansas, Wichita. Bald Eagle sightings aren't as unusual as they were 40 years ago in Kansas. In the recent years, up to 1,000 of the birds have wintered in the state. And according to state and federal wildlife officials, Kansas has about 50 nests, had about 50 nests last year, and are expecting 60 or more this year.
Hmm. That's wild. I've taken many trips through Kansas. I didn't know they had 60 trees.
Yeah, that's right. After you get a little bit past the east part of the state, it's pretty flat country.
Yeah, it is.
But there is a great wildlife bird sanctuary out there, and where a lot of a lot of the birds spend their winters. And,
oh, that's great.
So it's a great place for wildlife. But anyway, it will kick in there for Kansas.
There you go.
Now, yesterday they predicted that the solar storm heading towards Earth would disrupt power grids, GPS, and airplane flights. But none of that really has been a problem. But what it has done is created beautiful skies in the night. If you live somewhere where it's clear, look up in the sky, because the Aurora Borealis tonight and the next couple nights is going to be spectacular.
Well, we will do that.
Now, it's a full moon, and as we always warn our listeners, there are more animal attacks during the full moon than any other nights of the month.
Well, that explains it.
So, beware.
Yeah,
now,
my
also,
bad. Go ahead.
A lot of your local areas, fishing season is coming up. So you'll have to check. There's new regulations all over across the states, and be prepared. The prices have gone up a little bit, but fishing season is here. Now, that reminds me, I got a fortune cookie this week. Now, help me out with this. Even the greatest of whales is helpless in the middle of a desert.
Dr. Day, you've just outdone yourself.
How do you respond to that? Let's do the fact of the day. We're running a little bit long tonight. Now, the largest fish in the world is a whale shark.
That's right.
And it's neither a whale nor a shark. It's a fish.
That's right.
It can be over 50 foot long and weigh up to 2 tons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the wild world news for March 8th.
I was waiting for the punchline. Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We always appreciate his efforts each week as he brings us the latest news from around the world about wildlife and fishing and whale sharks and all sorts of things. Check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand-new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, RadioMom.fm, and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And I'll tell you what, why not listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7 each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. We call it God's Country. Go to their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Those are just a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a nice day for a white wedding. afraid to start again. Hey, little sister, who is it you're with? Hey, little sister, what's your side to wish? Hey, little sister, shotgun, oh yeah. Hey, little sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister, shotgun. Nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Oh.
Our guest tonight from his offices and studios right here in West Central Indiana, leader of Jet Kaiser Films, cinematographer extraordinaire, gentleman I've known for a number of years, our good friend Jet Kaiser joins us. Good evening, Jet.
Hey, Larry. How are you doing?
I don't have a clue. How are you doing?
I'm doing marvelous.
Well, enjoying
the weather.
Oh, I tell you what, it's been phenomenal. The winter is just not been here. I think we had one little snowfall, and that's just been about it. And I haven't regretted it at all. And I'm sure that with the travels that you make, it's nice, no hindrance there with this cold weather, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It hasn't felt like, you know, winter at all in Indiana. It's been great.
I have to tell everyone, I've known Jet for a number of years when he's just a youngster, and he came out and helped us here at the Animal Compound. Now, Jet, one of my fond memories of when you were here before you took on this massive responsibility, cinematographer, and producing these films that you do was we had a couple young bear cubs. And it really proved to me at that moment, you know, there are people that are just meant to handle animals, and, of course, there's people that just shouldn't at all, and I'm looking out across the backyard, and there's this 70-pound black bear heading across the yard out of its enclosure and then flying through the air, giving it a flying tackle and bringing it down, getting control of it once again, was the young Jet Kaiser.
Yes, I recall that. That was I didn't want to get in trouble first for a bear running around the compound, but I do remember that.
You know, it's too bad that wasn't documented properly on film. I mean, that would have been.
If we could redo that over, I'm sure it would be captured. I'll put a GoPro camera on my head to make sure it's captured.
Well, we could do that, except the only problem, that bear happens to be about 600 pounds now, so.
Yeah, it might be a different story.
you could try and tackle it, but good luck, I'm telling you. So you've had, not only be a cinematographer, you know, you loved animals, and you still have animals there at your home and here in Indiana.
Yeah.
Now, what are you taking care of at this moment?
Well, I haven't really taken on any more animals in the recent years. My business has really become my baby. But of course, I have a few snakes. I guess the largest is a yellow anaconda, which isn't terribly big.
No.
Eight
feet, 5 feet?
Yeah. Somewhere between there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If you can get it out of its cage, I'm sure you can measure it, but she's pretty feisty. I have that. Oh,
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I will. I'll go ahead. I have a few California king snakes and a western hognose snake and a few Russian tortoises. And, of course, what exotic animal collection is it complete without a rose-haired tarantula?
Well, that's true. I have one in my collection as well. So, absolutely. That's a party favor there.
I think so.
That's always great for a few entertaining moments with guests, but bring out the tarantula. I recommend it highly. Wouldn't you agree with that, Dr. Day?
Oh, yes. And sad to say, my Rosie just passed away here a few weeks ago.
Well, wow.
Tarantula. She was like 12 years old.
We'll have to get you another one, Dr.
Yep.
Day. Absolutely. And, of course, your baby that you've taken on is this small horse you call a mastiff. That is, how old is that puppy right now, Jet?
Samson is not yet 2 years old.
Uh-huh.
So he's still a puppy.
Yeah.
But about a 170-pound puppy. But he's great, and actually snoring at my feet right now, so he's doing his job.
Oh, I know. I've seen several pictures thanks to this social network phenomenon we call Facebook, and I'll tell you what, that is one. I love big dogs. I mean,
yeah,
those
I'm
little
a big fan.
Yapping chihuahuas and peekapoos, and I mean, I'll look at those dogs and I'll say, I have things that have bigger bowel movements than they are. And I just, just something about that, I don't know. Now, a little does our audience know, and we want to relate this because it's very important tonight, as well as Dr. Henry Day and his better half, and of course Melissa Hovey and her fiance Wayne Larson, that Jet Kaiser is a phenomenal wedding photographer. I'm not hearing anything.
maybe a cricket.
In fact, I was on Facebook just the other day, and I happened to see this phenomenal film that he put together. And it was from these folks from India that, I'll tell you what, Jeff, that was probably one of the spectacular pieces of work. It was like watching a motion picture.
Right, right. Yeah, that's kind of the idea behind it. What we want people to experience when they watch our film is we want them to question if it was real or if it was, you know, a staged movie.
Uh-huh.
We want them to be almost puzzled when they see our work, when we do a live event. And we get feedback all the time from maybe a bride that is looking to hire us. She'll say, you know, it's I got in trouble by watching your stuff at my workplace because they thought I was watching a movie at my my desk. But of course, I don't know if wedding planning from your desk at work is any better, but but we like to hear that. We like to hear that, you know, yes, we can show up to a live event and document in such a way that it looks like a large budget Hollywood production.
It absolutely does. What was involved with now? Your website is jetkaiserfilms.com. That's correct.
Jetkaiser.com.
Jetkaiser.com. Okay.
Yep. It's me. .com.
And you have several examples of your work there. But what's involved with like putting together a production like that particular wedding?
The wedding you're talking about, they actually never met with the couple before the wedding because Suman, the groom, he lives and works out in kind of the Hollywood area of California. He actually works closely with Hollywood and their digital storage of their files.
Uh-huh.
And I believe his wife, she's in Denver at the time. So, that, you know, we never met, so we went and kind of Skyped a few times and kind of got to know the couple. But it's not just about showing up and, you know, crossing your fingers and hoping that you document this day in a way that, you know, the couple wants. We take it upon ourselves to really get to know the couple, what makes them tick, what makes their wedding story unique and different. And if you look hard, and sometimes you don't look hard at all, just faces, you know, a couple that have such a great story. We never go in and just, you know, cross our fingers and hope for the best. There's a lot of backstory involved, learning a lot about them personally, their likes, their dislikes, you know, what they do on Sunday afternoon, you know, just mm-hmm. just different things like that. And so we can really tap into that on their wedding day. But the production itself, I believe that wedding was a 3-person crew. And 5 different cameras. And that wedding was actually a traditional Hindu wedding, which took place over the course of 3 days. So the film that's online includes footage from those 3 days. So they definitely know how to do weddings.
But the way it was done, I mean, it was so fascinating. Like I sat there and watched it. I said, this looks like a major motion picture. I mean, this is just with the decoration of the bride. Is that what they call for an Indian wedding? The bride, is that correct?
Sure, yeah, she's still a bride, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if they had any other official name. I know they dress in red, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, that red is definitely a wedding color, that's for sure. So they're both kind of wearing a combination of red. But that was one of, I think, 5 different wardrobes that the couple had that weekend.
Wow. And
they changed 3 times just on the Saturday. So there's a lot involved in it, that's for sure.
That would take a tremendous amount of planning on both your part and, of course, the people actually involved doing the wedding.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that, you know, it was a learning. That was our first real Hindu Indian wedding. You know, we've done some Indian weddings that weren't so traditional, but this was a lot of too. Like I was, you know, we're shooting it and we're not understanding what they're saying and not really understanding the concept behind it. But of course, we're capturing it, and then maybe over the course of the next few months, when you're editing it, you're learning about a little bit more about what's taking place and you know what's sentimental, what's not. But we ended up with a lot of footage, that's for sure.
I'll bet. What's the farthest distance you've traveled to do one of these films?
Well, actually, the wedding I'm working on right now in the studio, we shot, wife and I, we shot in Jamaica.
Oh.
And that was fun, you know, being able to, especially it was since it was in December, it was kind of nice to escape Indiana and go someplace like that and shoot a wedding. And, of course, the wedding was just a day. But we ended up staying down there for a week, you know. While you're down there, might as well pop your feet up and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we took up the Jamaican time. But that was fun. And we have a few weddings. We definitely don't limit ourselves to just Indiana. And we don't do really anything locally. Everything in Indiana is usually downtown or on the north side of Indianapolis. But a lot of our stuff is out of state, and we're starting to tap into a little bit more out of country. So we're real happy about that.
In other words, you would, without any questions asked, travel to, for instance, the state of Ohio.
I would. Actually, yeah, I'm doing a Cincinnati wedding, I could think it's next month, yeah.
And you'd probably even venture more even to the northern part of the state, I assume.
Absolutely.
Excuse me for a second. Did I hear Mr. Kaiser say that he likes to film to get the, you know, the story behind the couple?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we can't book him because I don't think anybody needs to know that.
I'm sure you have a marvelous story.
I think that would be. Well, then once again, we can talk to Dr. Henry Day, who has been basically living in sin for many years. I think it's time that he should, take the next step, and we should document it.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that, Yaqub. We'll have to discuss that further.
Yes, we will, absolutely. Well, we're going to get back with Jed. He's got lots of fascinating stories, and we're going to see if we can either persuade Dr. Day and his better half taking the big step or speeding up the hubbies a little bit. We'll see how that goes. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. Remember, you can download all of our shows from the past. Man, we're talking over 150 programs with such wonderful guests as Al Jardine from the Beach Boys, trainer Bart the Bear, Doug Seuss, Jim Fowler, Joan Embry. The list goes on and on, from the artist to the music world to the naturalist to the cinematographer. It's all there at www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson. That's with two T's. And be sure you tell your friends and become a friend of the show, and you'll be notified by email each week on the show's subject and the time and everything. It's fantastic. And we want to thank all of our listeners from all the way around to Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, and across North America that tune in each week and listen to our program. Also, we'd like to thank the iKidsFishing.com as the first kids fishing show, in the USA, starring kids teaching kids how to fish. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info at We Want You Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in western New York. That website is www.wewanchu.com. It is one of America's finest fishing resorts. Also, Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones, taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call, 317-243-0700. Also, we'd like to thank all of our individual underwriters, such as Jeannie Harold from Martinsburg, West Virginia. And you can find out how you can support this show at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. And just hit the contact tab there on our website and send us an email, and we'll be more than happy to tell you how easy it is. We also want to remind everyone, this is coming up May 6th in Mayville, New York, the first annual Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo at the Chautauqua Suite. It's going to be a great day, everybody, so if you've been watching the recent television programs regarding the Bigfoot Sasquatch, hey, you're going to have an opportunity to meet Melissa Hovey and Steve Calls from the show Monster Quest. Also, Bigfoot researcher Billy Willard will be there speaking to the group. And guess what? Yours truly will be there with some critters, and we'll be doing a Bigfoot talk as well, so we're looking forward to that. Here's their number, 716-789-3383, or go to their website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. And we'd love to thank all of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest tonight from Western Indiana, my good friend, cinematographer extraordinaire. Man, he makes some fantastic films. You need to check out his website, Jet Kaiser. That's spelled KAISER.com. And he's our guest tonight. And, you know, Jet, I was looking at your site not too long ago, and you have filmed, well, I saw one. It was really a pretty big wedding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, we start off small. We started back in, I shot my first wedding in 2006. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start off doing some small gigs and not making much money at all. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, we've been pretty happy to be taking on some bigger projects and some really nice weddings.
Well, the one big wedding, I'm talking big wedding, that I had a chance to take a clip of the video, the groom probably tipped the scale at about $395.
I don't remember that one.
And the bride was just a few pounds less than that. The biggest wedding I ever saw. So it was phenomenal. Oh, Lord.
No, yeah, that was maybe.
And I remember when I expressed my thoughts on this to you, and you said, big people need loving too.
that might have been my response.
Yes, I absolutely. So I have to ask, because we've been talking about this for a little bit now, has this made you want to just kind of jump over the, take that jump there, Wayne, and let us document it for you?
I think that's your response.
well, whatever. We were talking also earlier about your trip to the Everglades. You know, Florida, you know, it's a great place to visit. I've always enjoyed Florida. I know some people love it. Some people, you know, they say, once you've seen it, once you've seen it. But if you're interested in herps, reptiles, and so forth, gosh, what a magnificent place it is to visit. Just extraordinary. Tell us a little bit about your trip there, Jet, and when you went into the Everglades.
Yeah, I haven't been down there in a few years, but we're trying to plan a trip back. Mm-hmm. And it was we were planning a trip, and then I was like, you know what? Let's keep going farther south. So we're actually heading to Costa Rica in May instead. And,
oh well.
Which. We'll see what that has to offer. But, yeah, I've spent a lot of time in the Everglades. I used to go down where with my brother.
Uh-huh.
Who, he was more or less my cameraman and maybe my chauffeur. But he got in there and handled some of the herps as well.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite times down there, of course, we're on this little footpath in Ocala, the National Forest down there, which is, I just love it down there. You find a lot of interesting people. Great
That's
wildlife.
True. That's true.
People are what scare me the most. But we're walking on this footpath, and there sits almost right in the middle of the path was this adult gopher tortoise.
Wow.
And I never would have thought I wasn't even looking for him at that time. But sure, mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there right in the path. I scooped him up and got a couple of photos, and it was just, you know, it was so neat to actually see that in the wild. We kept going down the path, and started to get a little bit closer to the sun was going down a little bit. We weren't having much luck. My brother was with me, and all of a sudden, he yells, "Snake!" And I figured, since we weren't, seeing much, I figured, well, he's just trying to spice it up and just yell snake to get me excited. So I didn't believe him at first. He kept yelling snake, snake, snake. And so, okay, whatever. I kind of walk over there. And I really couldn't believe what I saw. But sure enough, it was an adult coral snake.
And during the day?
Out, this is really, you know, the sun is still up. It's enough where you could see a snake, you know, without any light. And it was, there it was. And I got really excited, you know, that was, you know, you can't get much better than that when you're hunting, you know, at least in North America. And so I had my snake hook on me, kind of scooped up. And as I was pulling them out, I noticed that this adult Eastern Pearl snake was getting ready. It had in its mouth a juvenile Eastern coral snake.
Really?
Intent on eating. So, whoa. You know, what are the odds of finding two coral snakes together? That was quite interesting. So I continued to pull the adult out, and he continued to hold the young snake in his mouth. He did let the other snake go, and he kind of went on its way. Mm-hmm. And we ended up shooting some photos of that snake, but that was quite an experience. You know, rarely Eastern coral snakes are you know, they're rather difficult to find. You gotta look for them, especially during the day. You know?
Oh yeah, that's,
and so that was quite a treat to find two. And
I have to tell you the story. We were down there. This was, oh gosh, I'm thinking 78, 79, just yesterday, and we had gone to one of the major animal dealers at that time. At that time in Florida, there were so many animal dealers that they were just everywhere. And the gentleman's name, and God rest his soul, is Ray Singleton. And he sold anything and everything, shipped it around the world. We went to a snake building, and he had an aquarium with about half filled with cypress mulch, and he had coral snakes in the aquarium. And he was prepared. I think he's going to ship them to the University of New Mexico or one of the venom labs or somewhere. And I expressed interest. I said, boy, you know, I would be really interested in getting one of those coral snakes. He said, well, that wouldn't be a problem. And you kind of have to picture this fella. He kind of looked like Floyd the Barber from the Andy Griffith Show. He wore these brilliant Hawaiian shirts. And he proceeded to take the lid off the aquarium, and he just his hand just dived right into the cypress mulch as these coral snakes were slipping through his fingers. And I'm telling him, I'm saying, Ray, I said, I said, are you sure you wanted to? He said, oh no. He said, during the daytime they're just about harmless. Of course, at night you have to worry about them. And I thought, well, you know, there's that rare exception every once in a while.
And yeah, very true.
For all the snakes found in North America, drop for drop, the coral snake is one of the most toxic. Except they have very little fangs, so they basically have to chew on you. And they are snake eaters, snake and lizard eaters, that's for
mm-hmm.
sure. So
mm-hmm.
that was pretty phenomenal. You know, Florida. And that particular trip, I remember, we went snake collecting with a good friend of mine down in West Palm Beach, and his name was Ron DuPont. And he basically raised 10 children by collecting snakes and shipping them to various parts of the world from the Everglades. And he would do his snake collecting, well, out of an old Volkswagen bus. And he had all the doors taken off of it. So basically, he cruised down these roads, and you'd cruise the roads that would have a canal next to them. And you had basically what he said, we have 20 minutes, the snakes will be moving onto these roads, and then they'll be gone. And different sections of the roadway, there'd be different species of snakes. And he would drive about 30 miles an hour, and we'd spot a snake off the side of the road or in the road. You basically jumped out of that Volkswagen bus. You ran, you grabbed a snake and threw it in a bag, climbed back in the bus.
Kept going.
Yeah, headed down the road, because if you didn't do that, you're going to miss the one on down the road. And it was amazing because one section of the road we were collecting red ratterhorn snakes, one section ribbon snakes, one section yellow rat snakes. And he was so good at identifying, I really trusted him. So we're going down the road, and he looks over to the right side of the road, and you can see the silhouette of the snake on the highway, and he says, Florida water snake. I says, wow, okay. So I says, I'd like to have that. So I jumped out of the bus, and I'm just getting ready to grab this snake when I told him, I says, hey, shine a flashlight on this one. And he did. And I am certainly glad that he did, because coiled up there on the road was a Florida pygmy rattlesnake. If I would have grabbed that snake, that little trip would have been shortened drastically, because they're pretty toxic for their size.
Oh, they sure. Yeah, those little guys can pack a punch. Yeah, we came across a few of those down there. You know what? I'm a little bit more afraid of the pygmies than I am maybe the larger rattlesnakes. You know, the pygmies are, you know, they're so small, but yet they're so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, they can strike so quick. Of course, their striking distance is rather small, but I was just amazed on how quick those little guys they could do that in a blink of an eye. And so of course, being so small, you know, no matter how you hold them, their head is always really close to you. We had a lot of fun, and we got a lot of good photos of some pygmies down there too. That we caught more pygmies than I think any other snake. There were quite a few of them when we were down there.
Yeah, I'm really got the urge to head back down there one day in the spring or. And just give that a go. So what's coming up on your calendar? What's Jet Kaiser got planned for the next few weeks?
Well, the next few weeks, we're getting out of our slow season. Now, it's slow in terms of shooting,
mm-hmm.
but it's not slow. It's actually our busy season when it comes to post-production, when you're actually sitting in the studio manipulating pixels on a screen.
Oh, my.
So many hours per day, but we're kind of getting out of that and starting to shoot again. This year we're gonna have a lot of fun. We're working with a lot of good clients and shooting a lot of fun stuff. And we're like I said earlier, you know, not just sticking around in Indiana. We're getting to go some unique places. I think next month, of course, we're going to Cincinnati, and then we're heading down to Alabama to shoot a wedding. And we'll be down in Florida later on this year, and we've got something out in Missouri, and different things, but mostly just weddings. And this in a couple weeks here, where I'm doing a high profile wedding in Indianapolis, which I guess I signed a non disclosure agreement, so I really can't talk much about that. But we're really looking forward to that. It should be a lot of fun. I'm kind of getting nervous about that, but
high profile, celebrity.
Perhaps. You have to have me on later so I can talk about that.
Would this be, is the person high profile male or female?
He's a male.
Well, I'm already married, so that knocks me out of the water.
Yes, I'm shooting Larry Batson's vow renewal.
Well, you know, we had a fun wedding, Jet. We actually had a Hawaiian luau.
Ooh.
Yes, and it was quite colorful.
Why not?
Yes, because even the minister had to wear a Hawaiian shirt.
Of course.
And we had leis for everyone. And my wife would hand out the leis, and she also had a Hershey candy so people could get a Hershey's Kiss and get laid. And, in fact, I'm so sorry. Dr. Day attended that event.
It was quite the gala, too.
It absolutely was. It was quite extravagant and a lot of fun. Besides, the one in Bermuda.
Like,
yeah, it was. And like
and
I
how
said,
many years
colorful.
Ago has that been?
Well, 20. It'll 20 be 21 years. Next. Oh, God, I'm glad the wife isn't here close by. In September, yeah. I'll have to check my calendar on that date exactly, but my God. Toward the end of September, what was funny, I think the temperature, though, as warm as it got, was 50 degrees. So we had fake palm trees, and you could hear the sound of the ocean, but... it was rather brisk. I think that was the first time I'd ever saw people wearing Hawaiian shirts with hooded sweatshirts underneath them.
Oh, boy.
And, it was quite the good time. So besides your trip to Bermuda, have you got a project that's your favorite that stands out?
Well, You know, really what it comes down to, it's not necessarily like, you know, big weddings, small weddings, because some of my favorite weddings or events have been smaller weddings, but smaller maybe on purpose, not maybe due to budget, but just, you know, due to the couple wanting to create this more of an intimate atmosphere for them and their guests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really like that. We like it when people, you know, can really put their personalities into their wedding, not just decide, you know, well, what does everybody else do? We like it when people decide to do things maybe outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Really show the couple. And like I said, it's good for us because when I'm piecing together this wedding movie, because that's really what we deliver,
mm-hmm.
and I have to like what I do. You know, I can truly say that I love what I do. And, you know, and if I'm just shooting the same stuff every weekend, then it's going to get old. You're going to lose interest. And then, you know, when you're not interested or having fun in your work, you don't like it. And, you know, so with us, we try to limit ourselves with how many weddings we do, because we used to shoot like over 30 weddings per year.
Mm-hmm.
And that got to the point where we were almost like a wedding video factory, and didn't really like that, because we just, you know, we're kind of almost producing these cookie cutter films. But now we limit ourselves to, you know, doing between 15 and 20 weddings per year, but being selective with the couples we work with, the couples
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they really want a cinematic film. They really, they have a good story, and they, you know, they're happy to show and tell and just, you know, put their heart and soul into their wedding. So those are the couples that we're after, and those are the couples that keeps my job interesting, keeps me loving it.
Well, you know, I think it would be phenomenal to film a wedding in Ohio and have the basic theme be about Bigfoot. I think that would be a
great idea.
I think it would be a phenomenal idea.
I think he could do that.
I think he could. And,
well, you know, I'm sure we could tie that. I'm sure we could tie that in, and it would be very unique for me. I'm excited about that.
I totally agree.
I can play the part of the male. I'm all right.
Oh, the male Sasquatch.
Yes, definitely.
Well, now that we've added a whole new perspective, we could basically not shave and not get a haircut for a while, and have your head poke out of a gorilla suit.
I'm good. I'm already halfway in there anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I was going to say, Larry. We could do that tomorrow.
You know, I'm not doing anything tomorrow. It's not that far over there. I mean, how long does it take to put one of these deals together?
Hey, we could meet at Dr. Day's place and do a rehearsal.
Well, we could do that. We could back there by his goldfish pond and his new pool. Of course, the pool's not real new, but
it'd be kind of cold for a pool right now. But
yes, it would be. But I'm totally convinced that would be a spectacular event. And it doesn't matter if Jet's so good at his trade, his film work. You know, even if the wedding was a little bit, how should I put this, on the crappy side, he could capture it and make it look pretty darn good with the addition of music and various visual effects and graphics. And
well, for something like that, we like to stick with what we call shallow depth of field, which is when your subject is in focus, but the background maybe isn't. So sometimes we're kind of forced to rely on shallow depth of field. Maybe when we're in a setting that's not so eye pleasing, it looks. Of course, that makes it look a little bit more Hollywood too. But you know, I tell our couples, you know, they're. When I meet with couples that are looking to book us, you know, and they're in to tell me about all the details of the wedding. Now, here, this is what we're doing. This is where it's at. Here's my colors. You know, I'm
mm-hmm.
not so interested in that, because it really does. It comes back to the people and, you know, all the other elements, the details. Those are just elements that, you know, maybe support or the details within the story. But the story that we're after actually exists within people. And, you know, I can shoot a beautiful film, you know, a couple, you know, just walking around a trailer park. You know, it's not necessarily, something that's going to prevent us from producing something. Because if you have a story, you can tell that. You can tell that story through the power of video. And
you,
with the way we edit and everything. And you know.
You've just spawned a spectacular idea. I can see that Bigfoot walking around the trailer park. And like most of those films, what I would do, though, Jed, what did you call that first type of photography where the subject's in focus and the background is not?
Shallow depth of field.
What I think would be spectacular for this is actually have the subject out of focus and have the background in perfect focus.
That would make more sense with it being a Bigfoot wedding.
Well, it would, because it's usually how those films are. So
yeah, we may have to include some red circles on that for the individuals viewing the film.
Yeah.
On the film?
Groom. Groom is here. And you see him move to the east.
All right. That would be perfect for Henry Day to discuss during the entire film event.
Yeah, we need a narrator.
Narrator. That's the word I couldn't get out of my head. Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, I would shoot a Sasquatch wedding probably with night vision cameras.
That'd be awesome.
In a trailer park.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually kind of frightening.
That would
be more realistic than we know.
That would be absolutely spectacular. How's that going over with the bit? Is she taking these ideas and making notes, or?
I'm getting funny looks. I'm not real sure. We're going to have to discuss this after this this radio show is complete.
Oh, it's not a positive response we're getting?
Well, I'm not sure. I can't quite read her face. I'm not sure if I'm getting daggers or looks of approval. I'm not sure.
All we'll do is we'll send Henry Day with the Wild World News staff in there to document that, for one thing.
Great.
I'll tell you what, Larry, if you bring a tiger, it'll be all good.
It'll be, yes, it would be. Yeah.
It'd be all good. She would totally go with that, with a tiger there. She'd love it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that works out. Jet, thanks for joining in on the fun tonight. We had a little bit of fun, but I am dead serious when I'm talking to our audiences that you need to go to his website, jetkaiser.com, and see the spectacular work that this young man has done. I am so proud, so amazed that it is absolutely phenomenal. And as I said, when I had an opportunity to see the Hindu wedding, and that, you know, people say, well, what could that involve? Folks, it's absolutely spectacular. And I tell you, just for your own entertainment value, go to his website. And as I mentioned, Jet, we want to do something with you with our wildlife. So we've got to put a short film together. And, I'll tell you, this little olive baboon that we have, that literally beats the snot out of me every day, it would be spectacular on film. So we would encourage that. We want to thank Dr. Henry Day. So have you decided to take that next step? That's the response to that. And
were you talking to me? Oh,
yes.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, very good. What a spectacular show tonight.
Great show.
We had
Thank you, Jet.
You bet.
And the clue with the McCartney song, I was like, what's this? And then I got the Jet part.
Yes.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
You know, Paul actually wrote that.
He did. He actually did. You can. So, and always a great job with handling the technical responsibilities, keeping us on the air, and tonight that is a miracle, Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson. And be watching the papers, folks. You may see that in the future couple as they make that big step.
And the Bigfoot wedding.
At the Bigfoot wedding, that's right. Don't forget about the big event, the first annual Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo, May 6th at Chautauqua Sweeks in Mayville, New York. Go to the website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com, and see all the details about it. It's going to be a spectacular day. We encourage you to make that trip to Western New York. It's going to be great. Want to thank everyone for listening. Hey, have a great week, everybody. Looks like spring is here. You've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.